This month, the shiur is being sponsored by Merrill and Gary Hoffman and family in memory of Avram Leib and Asher Hoffman Zal. The Makom of Hanachas Tefillin, November 26th. I want to talk about a topic tonight, which is very much relevant to Halacha L'maisa. Probably all of us are familiar with those big signs you have in a lot of the shuls, the right place to put tefillin on, the wrong place to put tefillin on. So maybe we'll try to get a little bit of a better understanding, rather than just the pictures, as to what precisely is the Makom Hanachas Tefillin, both in terms of the tefillin shel yad, as well as the tefillin shel rosh. So the first Gemara comes, the Sugya Maseches Menachos. The Gemara makes the following statement, Tana Devei Menashe, Al Yadecha, the Torah says you have to put tefillin on your hand. So what does Yadecha mean? So say Chazal, Zo Kiboris. This refers to the Kiboris. Of course, we don't know exactly what Kiboris means, but we'll find out as we go on. Beit Enecha, the Braisa continues, Zo Kadkod. This refers to the top of the head. Again, also very unclear what exactly, which part of the head it's referring to. So Heicha, which part of the head does this refer to? Amid Rabbi Yanai, Makom Shemocho Shatinok Rofes. This refers to the point on the head where if you press too hard on your baby's head, you can hurt him. It means that the soft part of the skull, that's considered to be the Makom of Anachas Tefillin. So the Gemara makes these two statements, that Al Yadecha refers to the Kadkod, I'm sorry, to the Kiboris, and Ben Enecha refers to the Kadkod, specifically that part of the Kadkod, that part of the top of the head, where Makom Shemocho Shatinok Rofes. We have to understand each one of these halachas, what precisely does it mean? So when it comes to kibores, so comes Tosfos in the second of the Marma Komas, Pirish Bekuntra is Badrun. Okay, if you know old French, maybe that'll help you, but I don't profess to know that. So comes Tosfos and explains, Tachlos, what do the words mean? The kibores u lashon kvutzas basar, kibor kibur dehini. He talked about a Gemara in Bava Basra, which says that the word kibores has the connotation of a kvutzas basar, that means a muscle, something of that nature, a lot of flesh, a lot of meat of the arm in one place. What does this mean practically? The Amr Rabbeinu Tam, to gova habasa shebizroa shebein beis hashechi lemarpek shekaren kuda. So finally, someone has identified for us where the Makom Hanachas Tefillin shel yad is, something that we can relate to. Namely, it's that gova habasa, the muscle, the part of the arm that goes up, which is on the zroa, and what's considered to be the zroa, that's that part of the arm between the beis hashechi. We know that means the armpit and the marpek, the kuda. That's the elbow. So basically, Rabbeinu Tam is the first one to really put in tachlis terms where the Makom Hanachas Tefillin is, that the Makom Hanachas Tefillin is dafka on this part of the arm, but not even the entire part of that arm. It has to be dafka, the kvutzas basar, dafka, the gova basar on the muscle. So come to Rabbeinu Tam and says, this is in contrast to some individuals where the following interesting shot. What does Yadecha mean? What does Kiboris mean? So lo kedivya mefarshim, gova basa sheba also etzem shebein hayad lamarpek. There was some who wanted to argue that you have to put tefillin shel yad. Catch this one. Over here, the yad is the hand, and the marpek is the elbow. So there was some who wanted to suggest that this is the Makom Hanachas Tefillin. The Karoyim, the Tzdukim, they used to hold, this is the Makom Tefillin. That's not even in the ballpark. For Rabbeinu Tam's quoting real people, part of the Torah Shel Peh, who really wanted to argue that maybe the Makom Hanachas Tefillin is over here. So Rabbeinu Tam is going to prove that that's not correct. Says Rabbeinu Tam, it can't be. Ta'mashma b'chol duchtei, the mitzvah's tefillin b'zroa. We know that the tefillin are always put on the zroa. How do we know that? K'dir min l'kamon, chaviven yisrael, shesivivan ha-kadosh baruch b'mitzvahs, tefillin b'rasheyan u'b'zroseyan. Chazal say that how lucky Klal Yisrael are that they're wearing tefillin on their heads and tefillin on their zroa. U'perek ba'as of the Erevin, v'kosher b'zroa b'makom tefillin. Chazal used the phrase that you're kosher, the tefillin on the zroa. V'amrina nami ein lo zroa potem in that tefillin. If a person doesn't have a zroa, then they don't wear tefillin shel yad. So the Gemara in three different places speaks about the zroa being the makom tefillin. So comes, tells him, says, what is the zroa? Taich, you look up in the dictionary, what does the word zroa mean? So v'oso etzem shebein yad lakuda einu kari zroa elakone. This arm, the forearm, that's not called the zroa. The correct Hebrew term for that is the kone. How in the world it tells us know that? So they dug up a mission in the beginning of Maseches Olos, Kedisnam Maseches Olos, the Chachoshiv Reish Bem Ches Evarim, that we know, the Ramach Evarim Shesagidim, there are 248 limbs, parts of bodies in a person. So the Mishnah Maseches Olos spells out what they are. Lamed b'pisa siyad, vav b'chol etzpa, that on the hand itself, so there are 30, each finger has 6, 6 times 5, 30, okay? Shnayim b'kone, then there are 2 on the kone, shnayim b'marpek, then there are 2 on the elbow, Echad bezroa, there's one in the zroa, v'dala b'kotev, and four on the shoulder. So clearly, the Mishnah is going from the fingertips onward, spelling out first how many you have on your etzbos, how many you have on your akana, how many you have in your elbow, how many you have in your zroa, and how many you have in your kotev. So obviously, if the Mishnah is using the term kana, and then afterwards it says elbow, and then afterwards it says zroa, so then common sense dictates that the definition of the word zroa means that part of the arm between the elbow and the shoulder. So Tosfos proved, beyond a shadow of a doubt, the Chazal used the phrase zroa. That's of course going to be the Makom Menachas Tohen. Yeah. Sounds like they were trying to prove that this is true. Shaila about this, very strange to understand. Were there really people who were putting tefillin on this part of the arm? That's what it sounds like. It sounds like from Tosfos there were takas on people who were doing it the other way. So Tosfos trying to show that what they were doing was wrong. So if you would just read this Gemara, this Rashi, this Tosfos, you'd walk away with the impression that there are really only two parts of the halacha they have to be concerned with in terms of properly identifying the makom tefillin shel yad. It has to be on the upper part of the arm, and it has to be on the muscle, on the basar, the fuach, the kfutzis basar, the gova basar. So comes the Ramah, the third of the Marmakomot, and is quoting from a Sefer Mitzvos Katan. Comes the Ramah and says, "Ago, v'tzorach lahaniach b'rosh ha'etzem hasomach lekuvdu." You have to put it on that part of the limb which is close to the elbow. Kuvdu is the elbow. Avalo b'chaytziya etzem shesamach l'shechi. Comes the Sefer Mitzvos Katan, it's quoted by the Ramon, saying another condition, a third condition. It's not enough that it should be on this part of the arm. And it's not enough that it should be on the muscle. There's a specific part of the arm that it has to be on. And what is that? It has to be the chatziya etzem, that half of the arm which is closer to the elbow, not the half of the arm which is closer to the shoulder. So now we have a tremendous chumrah, assuming that this is correct. We'll see in a minute whether we're really posking like this. So you have to be careful that your tefillin, and when we say the tefillin have to be in the correct place, we're going to see a little bit later, that refers to the entire tefillin. Hakol mikol kol, from top to bottom, side, everything has to be in the right place. So if we're going to insist now that there are really three halachas that you have to be careful with, it has to be on the top part of the arm, it has to be on the muscle, those are given that everybody agrees to, and it has to be on the bottom half of the top part of the arm, that seems to be what the Pesach of the Ramah is based on the Sefer Mitzvos Katan. The question is, where in the world did this come from? This notion that you have to have only the bottom half of the Zeroah, where does it say that in the Gemara? It doesn't say it anywhere. The other Rishonim accept it. So comes the Mishnah Berurah, part of that Maramachim, comes the Mishnah Berurah and says, the Hagrab Biuro Hiskim Ladina, that the Gra came to the conclusion, the Chol Makom Akiboras Kashal Aniach by Tefillin. That requirement that the Ramah is quoting does not exist. That rule that it has to be on the bottom half of the zroa says the gra lo hayu dvarim he'olam. The chay mashma b'prisha, some of the other echaronim seem to say that as well. It's interesting. The gra comments that if you look carefully, where did this start of the bottom half of the zroa? It doesn't say it anywhere in the Gemara. How could you make such a thing like that? So the earliest source, to the best of my knowledge, where it says that phrase at the bottom half of the zroa, comes from a sefer Shemusha Rabba. We quoted the Shemusha Rabba when we spoke about the order of the parashas and tefillin. There was a sefer that appeared in the days of the Gaonim, which was really a kitzer book about how to make tefillin and how to wear tefillin. The whole sefer Hakol Mikol Kol was maybe two pages. The Rosh and Hukos Tefillin quotes the entire sefer from beginning to end. So in there, the Shemusha Rabba writes that you have to be careful when you put on tefillin. They should put it on the plag zeroa. You should put it on half of the arm. So many Rishonim understood what the Shemusha Rabba meant was that you have to put it on the lower part of the arm. That's not enough to put it anywhere between the elbow and the shoulder. As the daf can be on the bottom half. So the Vilna Gaon said that's not at all what the Shemusha Rabba meant. Everybody misread. Whoever had that shot misunderstood what the Shemusha Rabba. What plag zeroa means is Beloshim b'nei Adam, sometimes we call the Zeroah the whole thing. Tosfos made a whole fuss of saying that the Zeroah is dafka this and the Kun is dafka this and nothing to do with each other. So says the Gra, no, that people sometimes call the Zeroah the whole Yad Chazak HaZvena to you, the whole thing is the Zeroah. So comes the Shemusha Rabba and says, by the way, that's not true. You can't wear the tefillin on the entire Zeroah. Only on plag Zeroah, only on half of the Zeroah is good. And which half of the Zeroah is good? The top half of the Zeroah, i.e. anywhere from the elbow to the shoulder, not the bottom half of the quote-unquote Zeroah. So according to the Gra, that statement about plag Zeroah, half the Zeroah, that the Sefer Mitzvos Katan, the Ramah used to create a tremendous chumrah to limit even within the arm itself. So the Gra says, l'hayu dvar me'adam. So the Gra and the Prisha Paskin, there's no such thing. So now comes the Mishnah Berurah and says, but the Machlokes, the Vilna Gaon, the Gra, the Prisha against the Ramah, that's only concerning whether there's this third condition, this third requirement of the bottom half of the Zeroa, but everybody agrees that Kolpanim Lamata Mimacha Makiboras Pasul Kulei Alma. Everyone in the world agrees that if it's underneath the muscle, if it's lower than the muscle, for sure it's not good, because that was the very definition. Remember, the Tosafot started out by saying Kiboras Ulashin Kvutzas Basar Habogova Basar Shebizeroa. So for sure it has to be on the biceps. For sure it has to be on the muscle. Everybody agrees to that. So now comes the Mishnah Berurah, makes a very simple calculation. Okay, Nochal Limnoa. Therefore, it's not a good idea to buy big tefillin, very large tefillin. Why? Ki apiha rov motzi b'tefillin gedolim shesof haketzitza munachas lemata mimakom hakiboras. That the only way to maneuver the big tefillin, you're going to run into trouble. Why? Because very often you see people have these giant tefillin. You know, sometimes the old European tefillin, they're huge, they're twice the size of the tefillin that we have today. So the very, very large tefillin. So the bottom part of the tachis is going to go below the muscle. It's going to be practically up to the elbow. If it's hanging onto the elbow, so for sure you're not yotze. The only way to avoid it dropping so low is very simple. You have to tie it all the way up, kimat touching the shoulder, in order to make sure that the bottom doesn't go below the elbow. Especially for a bar mitzvah boy. You ever see some of these kids that the tefillin is bigger than the whole arm. The whole hakol mikol kol, their arm is this big. So the Mishnah Berurah says just mitzias, it's going to be very difficult to maneuver. So says the Mishnah Berurah, you really shouldn't do that, because the gamzelo nochal lahokal lechatchila bazer, it's really not preferable to tie lechatchila the tefillin above halfway up. Achrei didasa mechabe viram olachba bazer. We left out the Shulchan Aruch, but there's a Shulchan Aruch later on that seems to side with the Ramah also, that it's a problem that it should dafka be on the lower half of the arm. So says the Mishnah Berurah, you're going to have a lot of trouble maneuvering, because on the one hand, you have to be so careful not to let even the bottom part of the bias go below the muscle, because that's mamish and not yotzei according to anybody. Masha Einkein, the only way to be able to pull off that stunt is to push the tefillin way up, which according to the Mechaber and the Ramah, you're running into a potential problem. Achim ein lo kiyum tefillin gedolim, says the Mishnah Berurah, what because the tefillin you have to be mamitz, what are you going to do? These are your tefillin. So tov yosa shikshirim b'chatzi ha'etzim ha'elyon, b'makom shenim tzadayim basra tefuach, says the Mishnah, you have to choose between too low or too high in tefillin. Is a klal gonuch is tefillin better higher rather than lower? Because if you're going to go below the basra tefuach, below the muscle, then you're up the creek. But if you go too high, v'yeitzei b'zeh kol panam dasa grosha poskim. So the emes is that you yotze according to the gro and the prisha. And the truth is, probably the overwhelming majority of the Rishonim. If you look in Rashi, doesn't say anything about the bottom half, and Tosfos doesn't say anything, and the Rambam doesn't say, and the Rosh doesn't say, and the Ramban doesn't say, and the Rashba doesn't say, and the Rishonim didn't mention this idea of cutting the arm in half and putting the tefillin dafka on the lower half. It would appear Mistimus of Rishonim, who spoke about this Zroa, and nobody else except for the Smach pointed this out. It's a little bit of a pella why the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah ran after the smock if the other Rishonim really didn't say it. So, and that's exactly the Grotain is. The Grotain is the whole thing was a mistake. It was all based on a misunderstanding of what the Shemusha Rabbah said. So says the Mishnah Berurah, if you have a choice between losing out the potential mitzvah l'choladei, so losing out the chumrah, the mechaber, and the Ramah, so of course you should go for most of the poskim, and just to make matters worse, we have a bracha levatala. Says Mishnah Berurah, by the way, if they're too low, not only did you not yotzei tefillin, but you threw in a bracha levatala, just to make life more miserable for you.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying the fibra os einenu, in the sense of where it goes up. The question is where it's the lashon that the Rishonim use is the gova habasa, the kvutzas basar. So it's the fibra os. That's above the elbow, right? That's above the elbow, right? So Tachos, how do we paskin halacha l'mais in the Shilam? The Mishnah Berurah leaves it as a really big shas of chach that you really the chachil are not supposed to rely on this. So there are other achvarim who say that one is allowed to rely even straight out like this Vilna Gaon. There are chashulchan writes away. Others say like this, that the minhag olam is many, many people are not machpid on this because the whole thing is chumra b'yamim. We're not sure where the mechaber and the ramah got it from. So there are different opinions amongst the poskim about this. But again, everybody agrees that the Mishnah Berurah is achra, that if you have to choose between the two, so clearly one should opt to having the tefillin a little bit higher rather than a little bit lower. There is a very basic metzius question that is, strange as it sounds, does not appear to be beferish in the poskim, and that's the following shaila. What do we mean when we say that it has to be in the gova basar, it has to be on the high part of the basar? That changes depending on how you move your arm. To get undressed properly for this, but everyone can figure it out themselves. If you put your arm like this, so the gova habasar starts much closer to to where the elbow is. If you move your arm back, so the gover abasar moves back with you also. So how do you mishaer what's considered to be the gover abasar? What's considered to be the kiboris? You consider that the kiboris is when your arm is laying flat, because that's lamaisa. Most of the time, it's tefillin, your arm is flat. What do you say? No, that lamaisa hanochas tefillin. So we always have the image in our mind. You put your arm up. That's how you tie tefillin on. So maybe the kiboris moves. Maybe it's only called gover abasar in if it's in if it's in tefillin putting on formation. So it sounds like such a strange, technical, very trivial question. It's a tremendous nafkamina. It's a nafkamina of half an inch or so, which is probably all the difference in the world. So what's the halacha? So there are rumors flying around that there are rumors flying around that some of the Gedolei HaPoskim of our generation thought is a davar pashut lekula on the shaila, that as long as it's on the gover abasa when the arm is straight, that's okay. I remember I spoke to Rabbi Willing about this many years ago, and he said he didn't have any rayas to this. He was also bothered with the shaila. He said the Mishnah Berurah doesn't say a word, the Chashuk doesn't say a word. Nobody says a word about this. So it's very hard to be machriya. This is just stam based on hearsay. I'm not sure, to tell the honest truth, I'm not sure what the answer is. That chaps a tremendous nafkamina. So sometimes when you bring the bar mitzvah bachur, you go pick up your tefillin, so the sofer or the rav, whoever's showing them the first time how to put in the tefillin, so sometimes you'll hear the magical number, two fingers. Some people will say, take two fingers and put it above the beginning of the arm, and that's the lowest point where the tefillin should be put on. So the emphasis is that mystical, magical, two fingers, first of all, depends on the person's size of the person's arm. But those two fingers are going makula. If you mishaya when it goes up, you have to throw in another finger for that. So it's a tough call. So what should the halacha be? So the pashas is those who want to be makel straight out like the Gron, the Erech HaShulchan, which at tefillin are kimat impossible to get perfect, because at tefillin are about four etzbos or so. The Gemara says that mokam yesh biyat aniach base tefillin, but the base tefillin, the days of the Gemara, each one was two etzbos by two etzbos. So the size of that normal standard tefillin are very, very difficult to get this out absolutely perfectly. So either you have to take a choice. Either you have to be makel straight out like the Gron, put it a little bit higher and forget about the bottom, or you have to be makel and say that as long as you can be mishaya the gover abasa when the arm is straight, that's good enough, and then put it mamish right there at the beginning of the gover abasa and hope for your best. Either way, you have to take some kind of a stand. If you have a lot of time in the morning, nothing else to do, so if you want to wiggle around with it a little bit, so then if you play around with your tefillin a little bit, so you'll probably get it somewhere right, as long as your arm's not too small and your tefillin not too big. So if you play around long enough, so you'll probably be able to fiddle around with it a little bit. I think I had a siyat d'shmaya, that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave me a birthmark. There's a birthmark right over here, which I realized is that mamash is made perfectly, that if I know where the tefillin is exactly in relation to that birthmark, so I'm pretty good. So I guess Kadosh Baruch Hu had rachmanus on me many years ago. Anyway, so the tall small. So there were some. So the question becomes, why are we making such a fuss out of this? Why don't you just make small tefillin and solve the problem? The problem is that the parashas aren't so good, and the small tefillin is very hard to write properly. So that's what led the whole movement of having the larger tefillin in the first place. So there was some sofer who came up with this ingenious idea. The halacha is, we mentioned a few weeks ago, tefillin have to be square. But the halacha is beferish that the width and the length have to be square. It does not have to be a perfect cube. There's absolutely nothing wrong with having a square of tefillin and having it up 10 feet tall. You look a little bit foolish, but there's nothing wrong with it. Pashas is the tmutar even lechatchila. So there was some sofer who came up with the following great idea. You can make huge parshas, gevaldige parshas, and have them fit into tiny batim. You just have to make the parshas really, really tall. So that's what they did. So they started making them called the small, tall tefillin. It means that they're small enough to get mamish perfect on the shear. You get the biceps, the chaladeus, and you get on the bottom of the row of the chaladeus, and the parshas are beautiful also. The only problem is you have to be careful you don't kill yourself with them, because they can you give a good zest into your chest, those tefillin. So there are some who there's a sofer in Brooklyn. One of the sofer in Brooklyn has been trying to sell these to the whole world. I don't know. I'll tell you the truth. I've heard. Yeah, I don't think they're not so. Has anyone ever seen them? Have you ever seen them? I never even saw them. I know about them. I've heard about them. Yeah, I've heard about them, but I don't think I've ever actually seen them. But that was the kavana behind this plan. No. When we speak about the makom hanochas tefillin, so we have to always be careful about, we're talking about the bias, and we said before, the entire bias with the tisur, everything's got to be perfectly, everything's got to be in place, and even a small part is out, that's kilu, the whole tefillin are out of place. What about the kesher? Is there any particular halachas concerning where the kesher of the tefillin shayad has to be? So remember from a couple of weeks ago we said we're not even sure there has to be a real kesher on the tefillin shayad. We weren't even sure about the status of that kesher. But Pasha says it has to be. We assume the halacha that there has to be a kesher. Is there a halacha where the kesher has to be? So here there's a statement of the Zohar which doesn't appear in the Gemara, which in effect identifies where the kesher shayad has to be. And that's as follows. The Zohar says that one has to be careful that the kesher shayad is always touching the bias. You're not allowed to separate between the kesher shayad and the bias. So the name, it's understood. We know exactly where it has to be. Wherever the bias is, so the kesher shayad is going to be right next to it. The Zohar even goes so far as far as to say that what the Shulchan Aruch says is that the kesher shayad is not supposed to be separate from the bias, even when you're not wearing the tefillin. That's already an alpi kabbalah something that the two are supposed to be hand in hand. There was a machlekes aposkim. What exactly does that mean that the kesher has to be touching the bias? Shulchan Aruch quotes the halacha, so we do follow the Zohar. There's a shalom in the poskim. What practically does it mean? So some poskim said all it means is that the kesher has to touch the tisura, it has to touch the bottom of the tefillin. It doesn't have to be pushed, crunched in against the bias per se. And there are others who disagree. There are others who say no, that it mamish has to be touching the top of the bias itself. The problem, of course, with following the second shot is that technically speaking, it's very difficult because it tends to move. That's why some people tie gidin or rubber bands or other things, whatever the appropriate or inappropriate things to keep the kesher in place. That's not to be yet to this opinion of the Zohar. And it's to be Yodse, the Chumadika version of the Zohar, to make sure that even the top part of the kesher doesn't constantly get bent away, because otherwise it's going to keep on moving. But in terms of the makom of the kesher, so following the Zohar and following the Shulchan Aruch, so it comes out that basically, wherever your bias is, the kesher is going to be not too far behind. So the second half of the Maamar Kamos now deal with the issue of the Tefillin Shel Rosh. Where exactly is the makom for Tefillin Shel Rosh? So in the fourth of the Maamar Kamos, the Gemara says, Govashe Barosh Menolam. How do we know this halacha that we said before, that Ben Anecha means katkod, it means the top of the head, maybe it means Ben Enayim, like the Karoy, maybe it means like the Tzduka means to say, you have to put your tefillin mamash on your nose. How do you know it means the Gova? The Tana Rabbanon, Ben Enecha, Zo Govashe Barosh. This refers to the top part of the head. So Ata Omer Zo Govashe Barosh, you're telling me that this refers to the top of the head. Oh, Eino Ela Ben Enecha Mamish. Maybe it means literally between your eyes. So Nema Kan Ben Enecha. It says the phrase ben enecha over here, and it says ben enecha by a person's eyes, and a person out of avelus, you start pulling out your hair. That's the nisa deraisa. So the Torah also says losim karcha ben enecha lemeis. So obviously, malahalam begova shibarosh makam sheose karcha. Just as that is clearly referring to a place with his hair growing, it's talking about pulling out your hair and making yourself bald. Avkan begova shirosh makam sheose karcha. So too, the phrase ben enecha when it comes to tefillin shel rosh is referring to the exact same thing. That it means at the beginning, at least there has to be a place where hair either grows now or at one time in the past, many years ago, used to grow. That's considered to be the halachic definition of what's called ben enecha. I remember when I was in eighth grade, so I went for an interview to get into MTA. So I think it was Rabbi Finkelstein at the time. So that was one of the questions that he asked me. He asked me, how do you know that you put the phone over here and you don't put the phone over here? So I don't know where I had ever heard this Gzeri Shav or something, but I said something to do with Losasim of Karcha Ben Enech, and I don't know. I had like half the Gzeri Shav right or something, so he accepted me. So I guess I got it right. But anyway, that was but that's the thing. That's the Gemara learned after this Gzeri Shav. It's a Dimin HaTorah that has to be Dafka B'Machom Sa'aros. So it comes to Shulchan Aruch in Mar Machom number 5 and qualifies this a little bit more, that you shouldn't be confused by this phrase, but it says that the tefillin have to be B'Machom Se'ar. So it comes to Shulchan Aruch, it says, Machom Anachas Tefillah Shel Rosh, Me'ad Chalas Ikarei HaSe'ar Mimitzcho, and then he talks about a little bit where the Sof Machom is. We'll see in a minute that Sof Machom Shemachos Shadina Grofes. So Shulchan Aruch qualifies this by saying an important principle a lot of people get confused about. It doesn't just mean when there's hair, as long as there's hair there, so that's okay. It has to be the place where the hair is growing, because the Torah says losasimu karcha ben enecha lemeis. That's referring to where the roots of the hair are actually coming out of. Mapam ve'ikar ha'ikari mitzcho. So says the Shulchan Aruch, the tefillin has to be in a place where the hair is actually growing, in the sense of, let's say a person has long hair, so some of the hair is coming out over here and it's going all the way down over his eyes. So he thinks, okay, I got hair over here, so I'm going to put my tefillin over here. That's not acceptable. Just because the tefillin happen to be sitting on sa'aros, that's no good. It has to be sitting on a place where the sa'aros are being tzemech from. So that means up a little bit. It means it has to be where either the hair are actually growing or where the hairline is, practically where the hairline used to be. That's considered to be the makom hanochas tefillin. And again, the same clause we said before, that if a person puts tefillin shalobim koman, so that's not acceptable. And shalobim koman means even if a small part of the tefillin are shalobim koman, so it's either the entire tefillin are shalobim koman. So one has to be very careful about this, that the bottom part of the tefillin should always be b'makom ikari haseya mimitzcha. So what about the sof makom atfilin? Where's the lowest? Where's the furthest back possible place? So the Gemara gave the phrase that makom shemochus atinuk rofes. So comes the bir halacha in my makom number six. I am betuav rabbeinu yerucha mashma minayu the chol gova harosh shebichlal hazeh. That makom shemochus atinuk rofes. I got to check with the pediatricians. I'm always nervous whenever my kids are born. I always want to try to experiment and see exactly. I'm always terrified to, especially when you see something, you see the pop it up and down, and I was nervous to touch it. But some Rishonim say that means the kol gova harosh. As long as the head, the flat part of the head, that's okay. Once the head starts to go back already, you can't put your tefillin all the way in the back over here. As long as it's on the gova harosh, that's all right. The chay mashma say for trumas v'yushalmi shemim la'ayim bo v'ramba mashma parsha delishnei delo sviro lekein. But the Rambam doesn't sound that way. And then he quotes v'ayim beisyos v'chay mismaka v'kol v'kosu v'feirush the shir anachas tefillin nimshach besach hakol ad chatzi shifua harosh. That it doesn't go all the way to the back of the head. It only goes, very similar to what we said about the arm, it goes to the first half of the top of the head. This is mamish parallel to what we said by the Sefer Mitzvos Katan before also. That although Chazal speak about the Zeroa, the Smak said, no, it's not the whole Zeroa, it means the bottom half of the Zeroa. So it's over here, Chazal speak about the head, so it refers to the bottom half of the head, not to the entire top of the head. So comes the Mishabur and says, in this Be'alach of Lachay, Me'anochad Me'od Yizor, Koparam Lechatchila, Shalo Yuat Tefillin Gedol B'yos. The Mishabur, in case he didn't convince you that a Tefillin Shagad, that's not a good idea to have very, very big Tefillin. So he says, the Tefillin Shagad should run into the same problem, because it's the same Pizman, that you don't want to get him too high. On the other hand, you don't want to push him down too low either. Ayyadezeh, Nimshach Lamala, Akol Gov HaRosh. When we come back, says the Mishabur, let's say you have a choice. You have a big tefillin. It's a question of either having the tefillin hanging down a little bit below the ikari sa'aros, or going all the way back to the back half of the top of the head. It's always better, as I said before, when it comes to tefillin, it's always better higher rather than lower. Because according to many of the Rishonim, and again, the Gemara doesn't say anything about the bottom half of the head. So according to the most of the Rishonim, you're okay. And the Rishonim sounds that way. But if you have it going, hanging down towards the forehead, so that's a very, very serious problem. I am the safe in my Sarav, that goes, yeah, the Tedrim, the Mashal, we know Gamkin, the Tobi also, the Chatchila, Hamshik, Hatfil, Latzad, Ma'ala, Kadesh, Lo, Yushbalu, Latzad, Ha'metzach. But, he says, even though the Gra makes a big fuss of saying that the film should not be hanging down onto the forehead, Mikomachum, Efshad, the Gam, my Sarav, Modle, Chatchila, Yabim, Atzov, Gov, Arosh, because that says, Yida, Yide, Das, Hasmach, Vakobu. It could be that lechatchila everyone would agree that they really, really shouldn't be too high. They shouldn't be further back than halfway through the head. So basically, what do we have in terms of the ikar makom for the tefillin shel rosh? So the fact that it has to be the makom seir, that's a gzeira shava. The fact that makom seir is defined by meaning the makom smichas asa'aros, that the Shulchan Aruch says kimat beferish. The fact that it has to be in the top of the head, that's also beferish. How much in the top of the head? How far back it go? That's a machlekes. The same, similar machlekes that we have for the yad, that the Gemara doesn't spell out the distinction between the top half of the head and the bottom head, back half of the head. Some Rishonim held there was a distinction, other Rishonim held there's no distinction. Therefore, it's better lechatchila to be machmer, but in terms of push comes to shove, you have to decide. So it's always safe a little bit further back than rather than a little bit closer. When we speak about the makom of tefillin shel rosh, so we have to take something else into consideration, not only in terms of how far down it is or how far back it is, but there's another thing, namely what the Chumash says itself. The Torah says Bein Enecha, so Bein Enecha means you have to make sure that it's Mamash Bein Einayim. So that's what the seventh of the Ma'amar Kama, that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Right. The only problem is that the Gaonim write that the Gaonim had a tradition that the tefillin in those days used to be Beis Etzbos or Beis Etzbos. They were fairly small. So our tefillin are about Dalet Etzbos. A normal standard pair that you and I would wear are usually about Dalet Etzbos by Dalet Etzbos. So our tefillin are already taking up a little bit too much room. These are very little room to maneuver with. And the older tefillin, like some of the, they usually don't make in America, the old tefillin, the European tefillin, were even bigger than that. Some of the Chabad, some of the tefillin are very, very big. Those are another five or six etzbos. So there's another halacha you have to take into consideration when you're talking about tefillin shel rosh, in terms of the correct makom, and that's the principle of Bein Enecha. So true Bein Enecha doesn't mean literally between the eyes, but it means it has to be in the part of the head which is corresponding to between the eyes. That's when the seventh of the Marma comes. Shulchan Aruch says in the end of the first line, Tzorach lechaben hakatzitza shetei be'emtza kadei shetei keneged bein einayim. So you have to be absolutely careful that the tefillin are literally between the eyes, not literally over here, but going up to the makom ikari asoros, that should be bein einayim. So this is a question: what exactly does that mean? You know, if you think about it, if you measure, take a ruler, the amount of space between your eyes between this part of the eye and that part of the eye is smaller than the size of that tefillin. That tefillin, the dalet etzbos, the dalet etzbos. So obviously, when the halacha says that the tefillin have to be bein einayim, it can't possibly mean that the entire tefillin has to be in that space which are literally between ha'inayim. So what does that mean? But we keep on saying all the time that whenever there's a makom for nochas tefillin, so it has to be, the whole tefillin has to be there. If any part of the tefillin are chutz l'mekomam, so the commander lays it, don't mean not yet, to the mitzvah. So how can it be? On the one hand, when it comes to the front and the back, and we're insisting the entire tefillin be there, when it comes to the side view, so we're saying that it's okay, that the whole tefillin don't really have to be bein einayim. So the answer to that question is very simple, that when we say that the tefillin have to be bein einecha, it doesn't mean from the inner part of the eye to the inner part of the eye. It means from the outer part of the eye to the outer part of the eye. That's called bein einecha. You take two lines, draw lines up here, and as long as the tefillin are anywhere between those two lines, that's going to be acceptable, because otherwise you're stuck with this bomb kasha. How could you ever be makshir any of the tefillin that we're wearing, because our tefillin, the width of our tefillin, are bigger than bein einayim? So akrach, you have to redefine what bein einayim means. Once you say that, that's a tremendous kula. So let's say the tefillin are not centered perfectly, you know, with absolute, you know, on the dot in terms of being perfectly straight up on the nose, that's also okay. What's the difference whether the tefillin are off by half an inch or whether they're perfect on the nose? Bein kavachol, you have to rely on the fact that anything which is between the outside parts of the eyes is bein einecha. If they're really off kilter, if they're off by 2 inches or so, then you may end up with the outer part of the bias being somewhere connected to your ears rather than your eyes. That's going to be a problem. But as long as the outer part of the batim are clearly within those lines which are coming from the outer part of your eyes, so l'chare, that's okay. L'chare, that's also considered to be bein ha'inayim. So that's a shah. That's what many poskim say. L'chare, the raya is a pretty convincing raya. This is part of the old story about how much a person has to stand with a mirror when he puts on tefillin to make sure that tefillin are actually mamish perfect. So there were some poskim who were very opposed to the looking in the mirrors for two reasons. The first of all, they felt that p'sal p'yaloch, it's not necessary. The whole thing is not necessary because it's you have the much more leeway than you think you have. I mean, even without a mirror, you can feel it. You put your hands, take your finger up. If you don't hit the tefillin, so then you're in trouble. But if you hit the tefillin somewhere, so you're probably okay. So and other folks will say, well, to look in a mirror, gavalt, I can look in a mirror. Like it says beferish in Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to look in a mirror. It says beferish, it says it's an issur d'oraisa to look in a mirror. Lo silba yuvash geva silmas isha. The Gemara says you're not allowed to do anything that's miyuchel lekach that women do. And one of the things Chazal say that the women used to do, the men didn't do, was to look in a mirror. Therefore, if a man looks in a mirror, it's in violation of an issur lo yuvash. Yes, the only thing is that the Rishonim say it doesn't apply b'zman hazeh because that issur lo yuvash. So the Rishonim say that goes lefiyah machom lefiyah zman. So if it becomes normal that the men look in mirrors, so those first men who started looking in mirrors weren't supposed to. But once Tachlis, they've been doing it for the last 1,000 years, the men have been looking in mirrors, so they were also allowed to look in the mirror. So the Meiser, I think most of us do, are naked to look in mirrors. We get up in the morning, wash your face, look in the mirror. You shave, I think most of us look in the mirror. So that's why this summer, I was in California, and I carry one of the little tefillin mirrors around with me. I never used to have one. I used to always, usually in every shul has a little, you can look by the window, you can look by the something or other. I remember, those are daven in YU, so I used to sometimes daven in the lounge, in the morgue lounge. So one time they bought this tremendous TV, the big TV that's there now. So everyone was shrying, all these yeshiva guys were shrying, how can we daven in a place? That was the TV there, Gemara. I said, it's a gavaldik, it's such a perfect reflection. I would walk over to the, perfect, I didn't have to go running around looking for a place to find for my tefillin. So for years and years and years, I used to look in the morgue TV to get my tefillin right. So finally, I guess somebody thought maybe it wasn't so appropriate, so they bought me tefillin mirror. Mamash, all of a sudden, somebody from yeshiva came one up and dated me, and they bought me tefillin mirror. I still use that tefillin mirror. I've left the hikes, I don't daven in the morgue lounge anymore, but I still use that same tefillin mirror. So good, so when I finished putting on my tefillin shirosh, I take a quick look for half a second, looks good, but put it away, finished. So somebody in California came up to me this summer, and they started screaming at me, Mamish, how dare I look in the mirror? I said, it's not necessary, and they said, and it says in Shulchan Aruch, and now I look in mirrors and everything. I was so tempted to say to the guy, did you wash your face this morning? I said, you didn't look in the mirror when you woke up in the morning. I said, we all look in mirrors. How can you tell me that it's us look in mirrors this morning? I said, no. Anyway, I was a nice guy. I didn't say that. I think it was the Munkaj, if I'm not mistaken. He was one of the Chassidish poskim said that you shouldn't look in the mirrors and it's a terrible thing and just put on the tefillin and finish. Okay, so everyone agrees you're not supposed to drive yourself nuts. It takes a half a second to look in the mirror. It looks nice, looks good. So you're home free. So that's okay. So, but I call upon him the basic din that it has to be mechuvah b'yamtzah. Whatever your definition of mechuvah b'yamtzah is, so that everybody agrees. The details of it, that's somewhat up for question. The last halacha, in terms of where the kesher shel the rosh has to be, so this gets a little bit more complicated. The kesher shel yad is very easy. It's touching the vayish shel yad, you're home free. So what about the kesher shel rosh? The Shulchan Aruch continues in that same Aramachim number 7, the gama kesher yeh be'emta ha'oref, that the kesher should be in the middle as well. For lo yad lakan lakan, you get the sense that the kesher should also be like a shtukl bein ha'inayim. It's not clear where that comes from exactly, but that's what the Mechaber seems to say. There's a different halacha that has to be able to see from the outside. But basically, the kesher has to be the emtah oref. So comes the Mishnah Berurah in the 8th of the Ramakamas. What does the word oref mean? Shusof hagulgoles. It has to be on the bottom of the skull. Who neged upon him? It has to be the part which is opposite the face. For lo kokach lamata keneged hagoron. It should not be hanging down all the way on the neck, which would be corresponding to the throat. So this is the bottom of my face. So you draw a line. By the time you finish putting on tefillin, you're going to have a lot of lines all over your head. So it's in your arm and in your head. So you have to draw an imaginary line here, and to the bottom, to where that line ends, that's where the kesher shel rosh is supposed to be. V'tov sheyia munach ikra kesher lamala min aguma. That it's preferable that the kesher, the bulk of the kesher, should be above the hole. That means it should be, if you go to the back of your skull, so where the skull ends, where the end of the bone, where your neck part, I guess, starts. So that's what I think he's referring to, the guma. So he says, really, the kesher should be preferably above there. It should be on the bone itself. The robe of the kesher, the ikar kesher, should be there. You have to be careful that even the bottom of the kesher should not be in a place at the bottom of the neck which doesn't have any hair. Because if you draw that imaginary line from the bottom of your chin, you'll get the hair in the back of your neck. I say the guy has a really, really short haircut, it goes all the way up. That's not going to change the halacha. But the normal people, that's the way, approximately going to be the same thing. So therefore, the Mishnah Berurah says, you have to be very careful that the kesher should not drop too low. And you see, this, a lot of people aren't aware of this either. Tishamu mafrekas hatzavav la'oref. That's not called the oref. And the halacha is the kesher has to be ba'oref. V'lachein yesh lizar, says the Mishnah Berurah, shetia ha'retzua makefas ha'rosh, mitzumtzemes mudekat saviv rosho. That it should be a tight fit, tefillin shel rosh. V'lo yeh hekev ha'retzua golem hekev ha'rosh. You shouldn't have these, sometimes they put in these bar mitzvah bachrim. If the sefer doesn't try out beforehand, so the kid's swimming, you put the tefillin shel rosh, and the tefillin shel rosh are falling down. V'az yikat ha'retzua l'reya, so says the Mishnah Berurah, then the two problems. Chadad etzichim hiduk ma'amish. That's what we said last week. We found a bit of time that the word ukshart means it has to be tight. The shainest imem refuyim saviv hekef rosha yipalak tzitza. The other technical matzias problem is if it's too loose, so it's going to be flying all over the place. Lefalav amitzcho. Either one of two things is going to happen. Either the bias is going to drop onto the fire, which is no good, or yipalak kesher lacharav lamata betzavaro, or the kesher is going to go too low, which is also not going to be good. Lo yibim coming around land. Half the time, what's going to happen is both are going to happen. The kesher, the tefillin is so big, it's falling down the front, it's falling down the back, so the whole thing is not right. So the correct thing to do is that the kesher should be in the right place and the bias should be in the right place. So again, it's important that the tefillin be placed properly in order to fulfill the mitzvah kedasu chedin. In terms of the shoyah, the things to keep in mind is that it has to be on the muscle, however you define that. It preferably should be on the lower half, according to some, according to others. There is no such kpeda. The kesher should be touching the bayah shoyah. In terms of the tefillin shorosh, it shouldn't be too low, shouldn't be too high. Sounds like the three bears. Not too hot, not too cold. It should be just right in the middle. It should be perfect. The cash should be should be positioned properly. Shouldn't be too low. Shouldn't be too hanging. The film shouldn't be too loose. So hopefully now at least we begin to appreciate some of those wonderful pictures that we find in our shuls in terms of the proper placing for the film shayah and film shayah.